This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is The Rich Eisen Show.
What would you do against Satchel Paige?
Me?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, you.
Gone.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Would you care to chime in on who you think is now currently the greatest living ball player on our planet, Bob?
You could make a case for the pre-steroid Barry Bonds.
Today's guests, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. Plus, what's more likely, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Fun 2 hours we've already had just chopping it up with you. And if you missed it, we re-air on the Roku channel, channel 210, as soon as this is over, and re-air throughout the weekend. And we're back here on Monday for more good times to wrap up the month of June. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We got a full phone bank. We'll try and get to as many of you as possible before we send you to your weekend. Chris Brockman and Jason Feller are where they are. TJ Jefferson is in his usual space here on the Rich Eisen Show, and with Dr. J behind him right there. It's funny, earlier today, somebody called in TJ, and of all the things of Dr. J's remarkable accomplishments, to mention why he's his favorite, he mentioned the fish that saved Pittsburgh, which is really wild. Joining us here from Sports Illustrated in studio, as there's a duck boat parade going down in the city of Boston, is none other than Chris Mannix. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Good to see you, Rich.
There's a parade going on right now, man.
Pretty wild one, based on the videos that I've seen. They're pretty good at celebrating in Boston in June, especially.
No doubt about that.
A lot of practice, Mannix. A lot of practice.
Oh, stop it. Enough.
Just saying.
It's just
13 parades in 22 years. What do you want?
It's been a lot. It has been a lot.
Titletown. You
know? The reason why the Celtics are celebrating today is why?
As opposed to when?
Well, I guess just why did they win it all?
It's always talent, right? And they have a collection of not only elite talent, but modern NBA talent, where they have versatility with, you know, four guys that can guard five different positions. They have great length at all those positions. They've got solid depth. At least they had it when Porzingis was healthy and able to play. Look, they didn't rely on one guy to win this series. Jaylen Brown won finals MVP, and I didn't have a vote. I would have voted for him. Mm-hmm. But this was about Jaylen Brown defending Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum playing a complete series when it comes to rebounding and defense and playmaking, Drew Holiday having some massive moments, Kristaps Porzingis, first two games, like he was a difference maker in those first two games, and Derek White making timely shots. They are a elite team in this modern era where they have all the pieces you need or you'd want to win a championship.
And Tatum's up next to get the Supermax?
He'll get his money. The two things the Celtics have to deal with this summer is the Jason Tatum extension, which is as simple as here's the most we can possibly offer you, and you put your signature there. It's probably going to be in the neighborhood of $315 million, which I think will, at the time, qualify for the richest contract in NBA history until, like, Luka's up a year from then. It all just keeps going like dominoes. So that's an easy one. The Derek White extension is coming up as well. He's got 1 year left on his contract. My understanding is the Celtics are going to extend him. One thing Wick Grauspeck, the owner of the Celtics, has said to Brad Stevens and people in the organization is if you have guys that impact winning championships, don't worry about me paying them. I'm going to pay them. Derek White unquestionably had an impact on this team winning a championship. So I would expect White, who's going to be 30 years old this summer, still very much in his prime, to get a multi-year extension this offseason.
And so when he says paying him, it's the luxury tax is what he's basically saying.
It is. And the Celtics are in the tax right now. I forget the number they had to pay. They're going to have to pay this year. But they're a tax-paying team. But this ownership group, I think, is willing to pay that tax for the right mix of players. And let's be clear. Like, they're in the tax, but they're not Golden State in the tax. They're not some of these teams that, you know, the Clippers in the tax. Like, they're payers, but it's not to the level that some of these other teams that didn't achieve what the Celtics have achieved are in.
Another reason why Brad Stevens is who he is. And so the Mavericks aftermath is what? What's the takeaway here?
Look, I think when you have a team that was effectively put together 5 or 6 months ago, right? Because two key players, Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington, 40% of their starting lineup was not on the team before the trade deadline. You add them to the mix, and the fact that you get to the finals is a pretty impressive accomplishment. I think the Mavs now have a group that they can build on and organically grow from. Look, PJ Washington, Jaden Hardy, these guys are 25 years old and younger. They're going to get better just by natural progression. Derek Lively, I'm calling it right now, Derek Lively is the most improved player next year. I believe that. Derek Lively was phenomenal this year as a defender, as a rim protector, as a rebounder. He's 20 years old. I think he's going to go into this offseason and hone his offensive game. You saw at the end of, I think it was game four, he made a three-point shot. I don't think he made it. He didn't make a three all season long for the Mavericks. This is a guy that has shown in practice that he can be a good three-point shooter. So if Derek Lively, who already has kind of these Tyson Chandler-esque qualities to him in terms of rebounding and defense, can add a three-point shot to his game, all of a sudden, you've got a very different Dallas Mavericks team.
Then what is the major, if you will, takeaway the league is going to have, the association is going to have from the Celtics winning it now that we're in the roster-building portion of the calendar year? What do you think the takeaway is there?
I think you saw some a move already yesterday when Oklahoma City acquired Alex Caruso. Now, Oklahoma City has looked at the blueprint that the Celtics laid out there for how they built their team in recent years and effectively mimicked it, right? Like, they've got high-level talent, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at the top of it, but everyone on that roster does a little bit of everything. They rebound, they playmake, they defend, they can score. They've got a bunch of 4 or 5 tool guys on that roster. Now you add Alex Caruso, and if the Celtics have a great bunch of wing defenders in Jrue Holiday, Derek White, and Jaylen Brown, now you look at Oklahoma City with Shai, with Lu Dort, with Alex Caruso, a two-time all-defensive player. They've got a similar type of mix there. So I think that Oklahoma City, just with that one small move, has repositioned itself to be the number one seed next year, and I think be the favorite to go out of the Western Conference next season.
And I've got Chris Mannix here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Los Angeles basketball, because obviously one hire just happened down the street for the Lakers, and the free agency period has a big, huge domino first to tumble in this city. Let's talk about J.J. Redick off the jump. What's your opinion of his hiring?
So I probably wouldn't have hired J.J. Redick if I was running a team, mostly because, like, I'm a fan of hiring guys that have the qualifications for the job, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, I like hiring assistant coaches. I think that assistant coaches who grind, who put in their time, too often get overlooked. Like, Sam Cassell is on the bench in Boston. Sam Cassell had a comparable career to J.J. Redick. Played 15 seasons, won 3 championships, made an all-star team, won all-NBA team. When Sam Cassell retired in 2008, he didn't go into media, though I think if you know Sam Cassell, he would be great at the media. Mm-hmm. He went and learned on Flip Saunders' bench in Washington, on Doc Rivers' benches. He was a key member of Joe Mazzulla's staff. What does Sam Cassell have to do to earn a head coaching opportunity? He's a former player, a point guard, a lot of respect, championship pedigree. Sam Cassell would have been atop my list, but I also would have gone down to Sean Sweeney, who was Jason Kidd's top lieutenant. You've got David Adelman in Denver, terrific one. I could name a dozen assistants that I think are I would have gone for if I was hiring for that Lakers job. But Rich, it could not matter one bit. I put this in my column on SI.com today. Mm-hmm. They could have hired Eric Spoelstra, had Ty Lue as his lead assistant, and Tom Thibodeau as his defensive coordinator, and it would not matter one bit, because the Lakers roster is the problem. The Lakers have a roster that is good but not great and has almost no room to significantly improve, right? Like, they had some injuries last year, people will point out. Jared Vanderbilt out for a while. Gabe Vincent missed most of the season. Those are problematic. But they also had great health from their stars. Anthony Davis played 76 games. LeBron James played 81. Austin Reeves, or 71. LeBron James played all, or Austin Reeves played all 82. So the Lake, I don't think health is going to be a difference maker. The Lakers are going to make a trade this summer. There's no doubt about that. They've got 3 first-round draft picks to deal. Maybe it's Trae Young. Maybe it's DeJounte Murray. Maybe it's Zach LaVine. But given what they're going to have to give up to get one of those guys, I don't see either one of those guys, any one of those guys, making a measurable difference. So to me, when people talk about the impact that J.J. Redick can make, oh, he can connect with players really well, or the negatives of it, that he's too close to LeBron James, I'm here to tell you, it does not matter. Because I don't think any coach is going to make a measurable difference with the Lakers, because I think their roster is kind of stuck, and I don't think they can improve enough in a conference where everyone's improving. I just mentioned the Caruso deal. Dallas is going to get better. Denver's going to be back. Look below them in the standings. Houston's going to be better. Victor Wembanyama's coming with San Antonio, and he's going to get some help this offseason. The Western Conference, outside of Portland, which is going to get clobbered every night, the Western Conference 1 through 14 is going to be hell this year for the Lakers, and I think that's going to put them right back in the same position that they're in right now.
Yeah, and you didn't even mention Minnesota, right? And they're right at the top as well as what you just described so expertly, I might add, is the reason why Dan Hurley said no. What are you hearing about that?
You know, I don't think it's one thing, right? Like, I think Dan Hurley, from what I've been able to glean, like, looked at the Lakers as a long-term situation. Like, he was offered, what, 5-6-year deal? So he was looking at the Lakers beyond the LeBron James era. I think for Dan Hurley, two things came into play. One, his family's affection for the Northeast. They, you know, his wife, his kids, they love that area of the country. And two, coming back to a top 5 college basketball program with a chance to etch your name in the history books as a 3-time, 3 consecutive NCAA champion. I mean, if I was Dan Hurley, I probably would have taken the job, because you can always go back to college and find a great coaching job. But I will never criticize a guy for, you know, choosing like your better life, like the lifestyle, choosing the lifestyle you like over one maybe you don't.
And but you just described what a difficult roster situation it was. You still would have counseled Dan Hurley to take the job?
Because and look, it could mean the same thing for J.J. Redick. Like, if he's there for 5 or 6 years, maybe he gets the opportunity.
Correct.
To grow with that group. But Redick, I think, is the 4th coach in the last 6 years with the Lakers. They just cycle through these guys because the expectations in Los Angeles don't match the reality of the situation. People expect the Lakers, because they've got LeBron, because they've got AD, two guys that were all NBA players this year. They were still playing at a really high level. LeBron played like 35, 36 minutes per game in his 71 games this year. This was the most durable Davis has been at any time since very early in his career. But the roster doesn't support them. The roster is not going to push them to that level that those other teams we mentioned are on. So short term, I think the Lakers are problematic for a head coach. Long term, if they play things right, they could be a great situation.
Interesting. And the money wasn't an issue with Hurley? I mean
Rich, you live in L.A.
I know. I'm just saying this, you know, if it was 6 for $70, that's south of Pop. That's south of Spoelstra.
That's south too. It's about south of Monty Williams, to be honest, who's now collecting more to not coach for the next 5 years.
Right.
I do think that if the Lakers really wanted Dan Hurley, they could have come higher, right? Because
sure.
I'm not a tax expert. But the taxes in California,
you just use half. You just say
are significantly worse than the taxes in Connecticut. Like, that's a reality.
Yeah.
But even if you take the taxes out of the equation, like if you come at like 6 years, $90 million, $100 million, like that is making a guy an offer he can't refuse. And look, I think Dan Hurley said it in one of the 97 interviews he did in the aftermath of rejecting that deal, like that economics were a factor, that he could, if there was a bigger offer, it probably would have been more difficult to turn down. I think that's something that's a factor in all this, but I do think Dan Hurley likes Connecticut. His family likes Connecticut. The situation there for him is perfect. He got a bump in pay. The NIL money is going to flow through UConn as well. I'll never begrudge a guy for choosing a lifestyle over anything else.
Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Clippers, because Paul George is the biggest domino, right? And what his decision is going to be. What are his options, do you think, here?
Well, the two free agent options are Philadelphia and Orlando. Two teams that have had different levels of interest in Paul George over the last few months. You saw on ESPN,
Joel Embiid basically just asked him, do you want to get hitched? Check this box. You know what I mean?
I just love that. I love everything about Joel Embiid. He's one of the best guys to cover in the NBA. I think Paul George makes a ton of sense in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have to offer him a 4-year max level contract to lure him away from the Clippers. But if I'm the 76ers, given my situation where Embiid, the clock's kind of ticking, he's 30, 31 years old. He's often injured. You're looking at a 2 or 3 year window max for Joel Embiid to be the best player on a championship team. Tyrese Maxey is just coming into the prime of his career. I wouldn't hesitate if I was the Sixers to offer Paul George that type of contract. I also wouldn't hesitate either if I was the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic have not succeeded in recent years at luring big-time free agents to Orlando. You watch the way the Magic played last season, especially in the playoffs against Cleveland. What are they missing? A score. They need a wing score. You know, Paolo Banchero, very good player. Franz Wagner, very good player. They need help in the scoring department. Paul George could help them. And they're in one of these windows, Rich, where they have money to spend right now. But in a couple of years, when they got to pay Paolo, when they got to pay Franz, when they got to pay Jalen Suggs, all the guys that are young and inexpensive are about to be older and really expensive for that team. So the window for them to sign someone big is right now. So if I'm Orlando, I'm also looking at Paul George and I'm saying, you know what? It's a risk because he's probably going to be 35, 36 years old by the time the contract is out. But this is the kind of risk for us that's worth taking.
Well, what's his thoughts on staying put, though? Right.
I think all things being equal, he probably would want to be in L.A. But it was interesting that when Kawhi Leonard signed his contract extension months ago, and the Clippers said they want to bring back Paul George, Paul George said a lot of the same things. Nothing happened. We're in that window right now, Rich, where we saw contracts being announced, Malik Monk in Sacramento,
yes,
among others. We're in that window where the Clippers could extend Paul George.
They're the only ones who can actually do something right now.
It seems apparent to me and most of the teams I talk to across the NBA that Paul George is going to free agency. What happens there is anyone's guess, but it seems more likely than not right now that Paul George, you know, come July 1st or what is it, end of June 30th, is going to be a free agent.
And then LeBron's free agency, right? I mean, Rich Paul already said he's not taking some sort of minimum discount to become the fourth horseman in Phoenix, you know. So how does that play out for him?
You know, my understanding is that the Lakers are willing to give LeBron whatever contract he wants. So whether it's an extension on top of the current deal or a brand new contract, I think he's going to be back in Los Angeles. But by going to free agency and opting out, he can get a 3-year deal worth a little north of $150 million. But he can also get a no trade clause with that deal, which, you know, I don't know if LeBron necessarily needs, but there has been some chatter about trading LeBron in recent years as the Lakers have kind of deteriorated. By getting the no trade clause, he could have some power over them in that particular situation. So I have not heard anything to suggest that LeBron won't be back with the Lakers in some form or another.
And do you feel if Paul George goes to Philadelphia, that puts them on what footing with the Celtics? It just doesn't, it feels like that is the most aggressive maneuver they can make to get as close to Boston as possible.
I would agree.
But how, like, I'm just wondering if while they're, you know, in their duck boats, they're just also just shaking off whatever moves could possibly be made.
You know, you saw last year with Denver where The Nuggets won a championship, and there was optimism that they could run it back.
Yes.
But they did have some free agents, right? They had Bruce Brown that left. They had Jeff Green that left. And among the reasons Denver came up short this year is because their young players, Christian Brown, and the collection of younger guys that were on that roster, just didn't match that same level of production that Denver got from their veterans last season. The Celtics don't have that problem. Like, everybody's under contract for next year. Sam Howell's got a team option. They'll either pick that up or give him a new deal. Their top seven, top eight will be back with this team next season. They're not worried about replacing some of the important role players on that team. Their confidence comes from this group that just went 16-3. And we could laugh and dismiss the whole, they didn't get to play the full strength Bucks, or they didn't play the full strength Knicks.
I don't believe
they
that.
Didn't play the Timberwolves or the Nuggets. Who cares? They went 16-3. That is the best mark in the postseason of any Celtics team in the 78-year history of that franchise. That was impressive, and the Celtics believe they are well-positioned to do it again.
Yeah, the only reason why the 85-86 Celtics didn't go 16-3 is they weren't required to play a 16th game to win.
Yeah.
Like, they swept, they would have gotten that four-game sweep of the Bulls in the first round of that playoffs if they had to.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's take a break right here. Chris Mannix on the Rich Eisen Show. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson are back on, everybody. Can't wait to talk about that. We also have a basketball only what's more likely cooked up for
Correct.
Him. Okay. So stuff to hang out with and play. And then we'll empty the phone banks best we can before we get out of Dodge. That is Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back with more in a second.
This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, back here with Chris Mannix. I've got two residual checks here. We open my residual checks on the air and have the guys and guess what it is. Price is Right rules closest without going over. Would you be up for doing something like this?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. You said you get one of these SAG-AFTRA deals?
I don't know if it's a residual check because I did have a very, very, very inconsequential role in Creed 3.
Uh-huh.
Which I love that experience, but I don't know if it was a residual or like a payment.
Well, if it was a significant amount, if it was sizable, then
it was
okay. No, these are residuals. Okay, and we even have a drop. Go ahead and hit it right here. Okay, here we go. I get the Price is Right music. Envelope one or two, your dealer's choice.
Envelope two, please.
Envelope two. Okay, here we go. Here we go. This is for Winning Time as well. It's all coming in here. I did a voiceover for Winning Time. Chris, what do you have over there?
Well, last time it was low.
It was $7 and it was $1 and something cents.
I'm going to say 77 cents.
77 cents. What do you have, Jay?
I'll go 83 cents.
83 cents. What do you have,
can
TJ?
I ask the episode? Same episode?
Same episode. I was only in one.
$1.02.
Well, you want to get in there?
So this is Price is Right rules?
This is Price is Right rules.
So I'm going to go 1 cent.
One cent. All right. Man. So 77 man. Cents, 83 cents, 1 cent, and a dollar and change. The actual retail check is... You almost won all my checks, Jason Feller. Here we go. It is 83 cents.
Hey.
Wow.
What did you say?
83.
Wow.
Well done. He's won all the checks.
Feeling rich.
Well
done.
Jason Feller, jeez. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Jason Feller just won the residual rich game by getting it directly to the cent.
And I had a great guess.
He's mad at me over
and
here.
And I had a great guess. And
wow.
Wow.
83 cents, and you guessed it right down. Chris, you're here for a momentous day. On the
Doesn't like 1 cent usually win out, like the bottom level
it
one?
It does. Yeah, you know? It usually, does sometimes work.
Yeah. Not today.
Not today. Jason Feller's won all my checks. You won both showcases, sir.
Feeling wealthy.
Okay, so Jake Paul, Mike Tyson back on. So.
Ah, your favorite fight.
It's your favorite fight deep down. Come on now. Back
it's an
on.
Event. It's an event.
It's
yes.
back on.
It's back on.
In November, right? Isn't that what it
November,
is?
November, I believe, a Friday night at Cowboy Stadium.
Okay.
AT&T Ooh. Stadium.
AT&T.
Jake Paul, Mike Tyson back on.
Back on.
The co-main event, Katie Taylor, Amanda Serrano, too, also on that card. So, okay. Yeah, the show will go on.
Okay. And you're still a little more runway. Mike's going to have get rid of that ulcer. He's going to come. He's going to show up. And this
See,
is going to be.
You guys
what?
Get me.
More fun videos.
You guys get me in trouble.
How do I get you in trouble?
You get me in trouble because you're so exuberant and enthusiastic
yes.
about this fight.
We are.
Ridiculous. Say ridiculous, Chris.
When I talk about it, it comes across as being negative. I'm not trying to be negative about Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. I think it is going to be a huge event. The fact they're putting it in AT&T Stadium speaks to how big
yes.
an event it's going to be. I said right here on the show, I think it's going to do more... more bigger numbers
mm-hmm.
than any fight in modern boxing history.
Yeah.
All I've been saying
on Netflix. Yeah.
Is don't expect Tyson versus Holyfield, or don't expect Tyson versus Trevor Burbick, if you want to go even further back, to have a virtuoso Tyson performance. Just remember, he's 58 years old
yeah.
this month. In a couple days now, he's 58 years old. And the fact that he had an ulcer that cost him his training time does make me a little bit worried about his ability to just ramp up his training once again
yeah.
and be ready to get into the ring in mid-November. If this fight goes off, I'll be there. I will watch this fight. I'm dying to see Taylor Serrano, too. I think that is a huge fight.
Yes.
But I'll be there covering this event. I will be, in addition to my Sports Illustrated duties... I will agree to be the official Rich Eisen correspondent
yes.
from the ground.
I would, first of all, expect no less.
I will be the...
It's a must. Fantastic. It's a must because out of anybody that you talk this fight with, who has more enthusiasm
None.
For this fight
no one has
than
more
everybody
enthusiasm.
In this studio?
No one has more enthusiasm.
Because when Tyson comes out okay. of the tunnel...
DMX, all black, okay. it's going to be amazing.
When that happens, all right? I kind of view this in the same way that when I was... training for my 40 a few years ago, Chris Maddox. I did
it's almost the same,
I ran
yeah.
a 40
you
yard
got a,
dash
you got
I ran
an ulcer?
A, at the Super Bowl in Atlanta. I ran a 40 yard dash with Usain Bolt. And there is a photograph of me and Usain Bolt coming out of the start. And in that photograph, it's a shot of me side by side with Usain Bolt. There's a snapshot in time where I am stride for stride with the fastest man on earth. And you can't take that away from me.
No.
Okay. I'm just saying that's the way we're going to think about Tyson when he's coming out of that tunnel. We haven't seen anything in the aftermath, but he's going to be there. And we're going to sit here and say, just maybe, maybe, just maybe, just maybe.
And
he lands that one punch and the 58-year-old makes us all feel like we're 28 all over
I
again.
I encourage that enthusiasm.
Thank you, sir.
I think... Yeah. People should watch
yes.
because it is going to be an incredible event. And I am looking forward to seeing Tyson come out of the tunnel. Hopefully he's got the towel with the hole cut
yep.
in it, you know, over his head.
Come on now.
All old school Mike Tyson. Yes. All I'm saying is if a fight that is over 8 2-minute rounds turns out to be less than you expect it to be, don't go on social media and bellyache about it, all right? Like, don't be like, oh my God, I can't believe what I just watched. If it's great and there's a big knockout, by all means, go on Twitter and say, I want to see a rematch, or say Mike Tyson is back. Mm-hmm. But if it turns out they kind of hold each other for 16 minutes of boxing action, do not complain about the outcome.
Well, and you could just watch the Brady roast right after it on Netflix, you know? Yes. And but
no
again,
pay-per-view, that's huge.
That moment where they're touching gloves and they're about to start, and that's all. Tyson's back in the ring, and he's got a puncher's chance. That's the whole idea. Again, it is similar to, look at that photograph right there on the screen. That's me in my whole getup on planet Earth, stride for stride with Usain Bolt. You can't take that away from
right
me.
At the beginning, I'm sure. Right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Did the starter gun just
hit? That's all I'm
hit?
Saying. That's all I'm saying is we're not seeing what happens at the finish.
Right.
Now, what happens at the finish of Jake Paul and Mike Tyson might be a complete dominating performance by Jake Paul, and we're all like, oh, you know. But for that moment, I will always have that on my wall. No one can ever take that away from me.
I'm surprised it's not on the wall behind you.
Like that is correct. That it can be. We could probably put it in there.
Should be, yes. I would too. Like, I have a picture. About 15 years ago, I boxed Juan Manuel Marquez, former world champion.
Oh,
he flew to New York City to box me for a story I was writing about what it takes to be a fighter. And he beat the bag out of me for three rounds. But I do have one picture where I'm landing like a clean right hand.
Right.
And it's like bouncing off his face. And he's kind of squinting going back. So in that moment, I'm allowed to tell people
You can.
That I hurt Juan Manuel Marquez.
That is correct. Because
I did not do that. But
there's photographic evidence that you landed a punch on him.
Yes.
And I was stride for stride with Usain Bolt. We don't have to mention that it was yard one of 40.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
He's a notoriously slow starter. You know what I mean?
Well, and as you know, I've got only one speed. And he learned it that day. Very good.
What is that speed?
It's, I don't know. It's not good.
Okay.
you and your facts. Chris Mannix here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. You made a What's More Likely specifically for
NBA edition. Let's go.
All right. Go ahead and hit it. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right. What do you have over there, Chris?
Well, let's get the ridiculous out of the way since it is Duck Boat Day Parade.
Mm-hmm.
Who's more likely to finish their careers with more NBA titles? This is for you, TJ. Stephen Clay or Tatum and Brown?
Stephen Clay or Tatum and Brown. Who's going to finish their careers with more NBA titles?
Oh, Stephen Clay. Only, I mean, winning four is incredibly difficult. Like, I think Tatum and Brown have one or two left in them, but getting to four is tough.
Hmm.
Yeah. 2022 hurt.
Yeah, I think four is they're in the clubhouse, right? And you're assuming they don't win another one, right?
Well, Clay's not going to be on the team next year.
So, so there you have it.
How many players individually have four? Like, there's only, it's a pretty small club as it is.
That's true.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Well, how many does PJ Tucker have? I'm serious, by the way.
I mean, Steve Kerr, Robert Ory, they've got enough for two hands.
All right, so would you agree with that, TJ? Would you go with Stephen Clay?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. What else you got then, Chris?
I disagree with you guys.
I know.
Texas superstar to win an MVP or championship first? Luka or Wemby?
To win either?
Either.
Either? Luka. Luka... what was he, third in MVP voting this year? Second, I forget what it was. He's right there on the doorstep. I think his team's going to be better next year. Voters, you know, one of the things I think worked against Luka was that they were the 5 seed this year. I think they're going to be a little bit better as a team next year because of the things we talked about, Derek Lively. And if he puts up the same kind of numbers he did this year on a team that is the first, second, or even third seed next year, I think he's going to be a strong, strong favorite to win MVP.
That said, you in the first segment talking about how deep the Western Conference is, you're like, mm-hmm. And here comes Wemby for year two. I mean, the way he was playing towards the end of the regular season, just some of the videos that would pop up in the palm of my hand of a block shot here, running the floor there, then a block shot there, then a three-pointer there, mm-hmm. all in the same sequence.
Yeah.
I lost track. That happened multiple times. And so I'm not talking about a title there, but I guess you can't be an MVP on a team that's like battling for the play-in seed, number 10. Is that what you're saying?
You really can't. Like what Westbrook won when he was sixth with Oklahoma City that year. Usually it's reserved for teams that are in the top, players on teams in the top three. We're asking the question now.
Yes, sir.
Before San Antonio does anything, right? Like, and San Antonio is one of the teams to watch this offseason, including next week leading into the draft. They've got two lottery picks inside the top eight. They've got cap space. They've got movable contracts. They need a point guard to play opposite Wembanyama. Think of what he did this year with effectively, Jeremy Sochan, a power forward, starting at point guard for much of the year. They are going to land a quality point guard either via trade or a free agency this offseason, and that is going to make Wembanyama go to another level. Every great big man needs a great point guard to play off of, and I think Wembanyama is going to get that guy, and I think he's going to be an all-NBA player next season. I think that's my prediction of the Wemby jump.
What else, Chris?
To be a more competitive tournament, what's more likely here? The NBA playoffs that just happened or the upcoming Summer Olympic men's basketball?
Ooh.
Interesting.
The Summer Olympics. The USA team is like suiting up the Avengers for this. Like they're sending their best once again. But, I mean, look at the teams that are out there. USA basketball might not be the best team in North America. Canada just released its roster, and I think Andrew Wiggins is probably going to be a part of it. Jamal Murray, Andrew Wiggins, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dylan Brooks, they are stacked up in Canada with really high-level NBA players, many of whom have been playing together for multiple cycles. The thing that trips the U.S. team up is that they keep reinventing the roster. They keep bringing new guys back in instead of having the same team over and over again that developed consistency. What made them the Redeem team a great team was that they were part of the 2003 tournament, the 2004 Olympics, 2008, all the way up to 2012. A lot of the same guys on that roster. This team, some of the guys will be back, but it's like LeBron's back. You bring in Jason Tatum back, like just a bunch of guys that are not used to playing against each other. Whereas France, Slovenia, Canada, I think Giannis is going to play, I believe, for Greece. Like, these are a bunch of guys that are used to playing with each other. I think that's going to be an ultra competitive tournament. I wouldn't even make the U.S. team the favorite going to that tournament.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. As opposed to, we just saw 16-3 victorious champion.
Well, how many game sevens were in the playoffs? Not that many, right? One or one.
Minnesota played with
Denver.
Denver into game seven. I'm trying to think, Eastern Conference, did they go? I don't know.
Not many.
I
think the Magic, didn't the Magic in the
Magic
Cavs?
And Cleveland Magic and Cavs, in the first round.
Two game sevens, that's it?
What else?
Yeah. Who takes their team to the finals first in the West? Shai or Ant?
I'm going to say Shai because just a second before I said Thunder were the favorites to win the conference. The organic growth in Oklahoma City, Chet, Shai, all the young guys, Jalen Williams, like they're all just going to be better naturally next year. They got another wing defender and Alex Caruso. They've still got 307 draft picks over the next 4 years that they can potentially deal for a rebounder. And I think Sam Presti is going to find up getting that guy. Minnesota is kind of in a weird place right now. I think if they run this whole thing back, they're still, one of the best teams in the Western Conference, but they may have some decisions to make because of the finances on that team. They're a very expensive roster. They could have new ownership coming in, however that shakes out with A-Rod and Mark Lurie and Glenn Taylor and that whole fight that's going on in Minnesota. So they may decide not to want to spend as much as they spent this year, and that could cause that team to take half a step back, which in the Western Conference, that's all you need to go from a conference finalist to a first-round exit.
I've got one, if you don't mind, and then we only have time for one more.
I got two more.
Yeah, can I jump in? And I'm just going to cannibalize it.
It is your show,
Richie. Do you have one about Bronny James?
No.
Okay, let me jump in, if you don't mind. Sorry.
Not interested.
Because I got to send him off. Well, what's more likely at this point next week, draft is over, we are talking about LeBron leaving Los Angeles to play with his son because his son winds up in a spot that's significant, or it doesn't matter because the Lakers use the 55th overall selection on him?
Yeah, I think it doesn't matter. I don't get the sense that any team is overly interested in Bronny right now. Like, that could change. The second round is where you take flyers,
yep,
right? Like, right. Just have some fun and go on Basketball Reference sometime and look at the history of second round picks.
That's what I'm saying. If the Lakers are 55th overall, like, why not just remove any sort of part of the equation and just bring his son in here?
Well, yeah. Like, I don't think he gets past 55, basically, okay, is what I'm saying. Does he get picked by somebody before then? I would call that extremely unlikely. I've had some conversations with team executives, like, say, like the Knicks. Like, they draft Bronny somewhere, yeah, in the second round. Like, could they just dare LeBron to,
yeah,
fulfill his destiny and come play in New York for a year? Philadelphia, did they
do? Didn't Rich Paul say he's not going to sign a two-way?
He said he's not going to sign a two-way. We'll see. We'll see how,
yeah,
everything ultimately shakes out for him. Like, Bronny, one way or the other, is going to spend most or all of next year in the G League, right? He's just not, he's in the developmental phase. He only played, right, it was a dozen or so college basketball games. So I don't think any team but the Lakers will draft him. That's my guess right now. But I do think the Lakers at 55, where virtually no one of any consequence has ever been drafted before, I do think they'll use that pick on Bronny.
Okay.
Last one, oft-injured superstar to finish their career with their current team, Zion or Joel Embiid?
I would say Joel Embiid because he's a little bit older, and they're not trading Joel Embiid unless he demands it, right? Like, and maybe the same can be true with Zion, but Joel Embiid has this, like, he's got this affection for Philadelphia, like, you know, the process, the city, the passion they have for it. I don't think Joel Embiid wants to go anywhere. And I think they've got a top executive in Daryl Morey, who just got a contract extension himself, that is going to be aggressive in pursuing every veteran available via free agency and trade to surround Joel Embiid with the right kind of talent.
Sir, I greatly appreciate it. You're awesome. I love chatting with you, and you're also—I'll just say it on the air too. You're cool enough to say, "Hey, man, I'm in town." Some people don't do that, sir, and I appreciate it. I really do.
Anytime,
value that.
Rich.
Thank you. And we're sending you off to another plane flight. So thanks. The good news is LAX is literally around the corner. You could be through security by the time we finish up this
I like
program.
That.
Chris Mannix, everybody check him out and sportsillustratedsi.com. We are back to wrap up the show and get as many phone calls in as we possibly can in a moment.
Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
What's great, man, are these, you know, we do a lot of NFL, NBA shows on Family Feud for Celebrity.
Right.
It's great, man, when regular people discover that celebrities don't know nothing. They don't. You think because a person is famous, they know more. They actually know less.
Yeah.
They know less than anybody else because they're exposed to less. Rich people don't know how much milk costs. You get out of touch, man. And when they come on Celebrity Family Feud, you find out how out of touch they are. They don't know anything, man. Like, one of the questions for the NFL team was, and we were asking a guy running back for the Packers, can't think of his name, but the question was, complete the sentence, strip, and you spoke, you know, like strip mall,
strip
poker.
Strip sack.
Strip sack. Yeah. I said, name, complete the word strip. He said, purr. Strip her. I went, hold on, man. I quit breathing. How is that your point of reference to complete the word strip? Purr. P-E-R. That was it. I was done. That was one of my great moments.
And again, you just walk away and you realize it in the moment, like, okay, this is it. And I'm going to let this thing go.
Hey, after the show, he asked me, he said, Steve, is there any way we could edit that out? I said, sir, we're not editing that out. Matter of fact, we're going to embellish it. You're going to say purr so loud. Purr.
Love it. Steve Harvey, man. That was the night before he hosted the NFL Honors at the Super Bowl in Miami. Go ahead and get the Game Time app if you already haven't. We've been talking about it for months now here on the Rich Eisen Show. We love using Game Time because it takes the guesswork completely out of buying tickets to any sporting event. Major League Baseball tickets, it is awesome because you get to see the view from your seat, which is so very important. Game Time is also an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball. It makes tickets getting faster and easier, and the guesswork is removed because you could see the view from your seat. You get all-in pricing before you figure out buying it. You know exactly how much it's going to cost. And the Game Time app, their prices actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. So take all the guesswork out of buying tickets using our Game Time app and get our promo code as well when you're buying MLB tickets. Get the app, create an account, use my code EYES, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions, please. Again, create your account, redeem my code, EISEN. You get $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Fun show, everybody. Pete Fairbanks, the closer of the Tampa Bay Rays. Last we saw him, it was in the middle of April. He blew a save, and then his post-game presser in front of his locker was laugh out loud, hilarious and honest, and in case you need a refresher, this is how it went.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that, but for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
So, cut to yesterday, Pete Fairbanks was on the mound in Minnesota trying to protect a three-run lead after he came in the middle of the ninth inning with two men on after a home run had been hit to make it a three-run game. So, the tying runs at the plate, and with one out left to go, he gave up a game-tying home run. The Rays won in extra innings, and the guy who finished it up was Fairbanks. They left him in the game because he's the closer. Right. So he closed it out. He got the win. And this was the post-game press conference, if you will, and the crucial question being asked by Trisha Whitaker, who nailed it, to say the least, with the questioning, knowing her subject matter and perhaps also knowing what had happened in between innings of giving up the game-tying home run and extras.
Do we get to ask what you destroyed?
Elvis is shaking his head. It's nothing bad, Elvis. Look, let's just say that I owe the Minnesota Twins visiting Cage a new IKEA stool.
A new IKEA stool.
There needs to be a new stool. Not bar stool height, like one of the mini ones that like kids use. Yeah, it's not existent anymore. But, you know, sometimes you got to get it all out to go out there and put up another zero.
Okay, but after that, you went back out there, which we don't normally see you do. What was that conversation like, and why did you go back out there, I guess?
Well, I was busy letting every bit of negative emotion out of my body in the cage. And Snide said, hey, you have to throw the next one. And I said, and I quote, so turn your sensors on. I blanked it. So I'll throw it.
Okay.
And that was that.
Okay.
Then I saw Phil warming up, and I was a little confused because he told me I was still in the game. And I asked Nides, am I still in this game? He said yes. He ran down the hitters, and Jose Siri made an incredible throw. I would say almost a Kevin Kiermaier-esque throw.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Okay.
If you guys want to pull up a playoff, if you guys want to pull up game four from the 2021 ALDS. Eerily similar.
So getting your frustration out on that stool was key to go back out.
I thought so. Yes, I thought so.
Wow, this guy is amazing.
We got to get him on.
Necessary.
Bring me Pete Fairbanks.
I had written that down last time when we played it originally, the all-encompassing kind of suck.
The all-encompassing kind of
suck. Fantasy name if you need one.
Yeah, bad fantasy team name.
Yeah.
Let's go take a couple phone calls here. Dre in Kansas City, let's take his phone call. What's up, Dre?
Sorry about that.
You're there, Dre?
Can you hear me, sir?
I can. What's on your mind? We only have a couple minutes left here. What do you have for me?
Oh, man. I need to do the win-loss for the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right. Here we go. We've only had one I've had here, Sean in Kansas. Has anybody had a 17-0?
Yes. My man did the Eagles, Ron in Los Angeles.
Okay. Here we go.
Man.
Here we go. Dre in Kansas City. How do things work on opening night against the Ravens?
Close game, but we get the dub.
Home for the Bengals.
We getting another dub.
At the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, we getting another one. Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix, it don't matter.
All right. At the Chargers.
Ah, that's going to be the pesky loss that we get in the division.
Oh, man. You normally that's Kelsey's house. It's not SoFi Stadium. It's Kelsey Stadium.
It is, but John Harbaugh, you know.
Okay, Jim, I got you. All good. Home for the Saints on a Monday night. Bounce back?
That's another one, man. Derek Carr, we got his number.
All right, 4-1 off the bye at San Francisco.
We know how Andy Reid is off the bye. We get the dub in San Francisco. Patrick Mahomes remains undefeated against the 49ers.
5-1 at Vegas for the first time since you won the Super Bowl there.
That's a win.
6-1 home for the Bucs on a Monday night.
Another win.
7-1 home for the Broncos.
Another one.
8-1 at the Bills.
We're going to get that one too. Josh Allen. That team, they're done.
9-1 at the Panthers.
We getting another win there, too.
A Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving against the Raiders.
Another win. We on the streak.
Home for the Chargers.
We on the streak, man. We getting another one.
At the Cleveland Browns.
That one, close. We getting the win.
Home for the Texans on a Saturday.
This one scares me. CJ Stroud's that guy. We at home, though. Another win.
At the Steelers on Christmas.
We making up for last Christmas. Another win.
Merry Christmas.
The quarterback there either.
Merry Christmas at the Broncos.
We getting another win there, and then we running the table for the first three-peat ever.
Ooh. Dre and KC has the Chiefs going 16-1. Their only loss is at Jim Harbaugh's first crack at him. Finishing up the season on a 13-game win streak.
Wow.
Thank you, Dre.
Wow.
Or he thinks,
yeah,
wait a minute.
For sure.
Or he thinks it's a 16-game win streak.
Right. Run the table.
Because they would clearly be the one seed at 16-1 and needing only to win three playoff games. 19-1. If they three-peat going 19-1,
baby,
you would have to talk about them as the greatest team in the history of the sport, on the greatest heater in the history of the sport. If they go into a three-peat season and go 19-1 to three-peat, take any all-time great team and put them right up next to it and even argue that they're better.
Sheesh.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Great way to send us into our weekend and go and hang out and enjoy the longest day of the year on this Friday. Back to wrap it up on Roku in a second.
Hey guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.